Turn with me to Ezekiel 37. We're going to take it a few verses at a time, work our way down through verse 14. The hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel speaking. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. The first thing I want you to see is the work of saving sinners from their sins begins with the Lord sending His messenger. Ezekiel says here, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. He set me down. He set me down. Our Lord said, how can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Our God no more leaves the work of sending His messengers up to men than He does electing His children, redeeming His children, or regenerating His children. He doesn't leave that up to men. He sends whom He will. Jeremiah 3:15, he said, I will give you pastors after mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. There's not a chance, there's not a maybe, there's not an if in that any more than there is in the gospel of Christ. He said, I will and they shall. I will and they shall. Either God's true and men are liars, or God's a liar and men are true. He said, I will send you pastors, and they shall feed you with knowledge and true understanding. Ezekiel said, the Lord set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Ezekiel didn't go searching for this valley. The Lord set him down in this valley. You think of how many valleys there are in that land. And the Lord took him to that valley and set him down in that valley to behold that valley. He said, the Lord caused me to pass by them round about. That valley was full of bones. And he said, the Lord caused me to pass by those bones round about, just to walk in amongst them and look at them. Give them a good look and observe what it was that was in that valley. Who it was the Lord was sending him to in that valley. You consider the condition of these bones. It was a valley which was full of bones. Verse 2 says, behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. In a little while, he says that these bones were brought together and joined bone to bone. That means they were separated. They were scattered. These bones weren't even together. They were just separated. This is a picture of the condition of every individual, particular sinner that God saves by His grace. The immediate context for the sticklers that might hear this, the immediate context is God was going to gather His elect remnant out of the house of Israel and restore them in the days of Cyrus the king. And that's what He did. He fulfilled it. But it applies to the necessity, the need, the condition of every sinner whom God shall save by His grace. This is the description. Lifeless bones. Every unregenerate sinner is out in the open valley, dead under the condemnation of God, like that heat that came down from the sun and bleached those bones white, under the condemnation of God. Every sinner by nature is spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. And some are twice dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins, and dead in religion. Twice dead. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Every sinner here who's in your natural born condition, the way you came from your mama, is that you are separated from God. You are separated from Christ. You have no ability whatsoever to give yourself life. You can hear with your head, but you cannot hear with a new heart. You are dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead in trespasses and in sins. The Lord asked a question in verse 3. And he said unto me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I titled the message, "Can Dead Sinners Live?" Can dead sinners live? That's what he's asking him. Can these bones live? What's the point of this? Why is Ezekiel being made to know? Why has he been taken out here by the Lord and set down in this valley of dry bones and made to see what he's up against? Why is that the case? Ezekiel is being made to know that what he is called to do, he has absolutely no power and no sufficiency to perform. Look at 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God," Paul is speaking, "now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ." He's speaking of gospel preachers. "And he maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God," whatever the case is when the gospel goes forth, "we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life." Unto God, that's what we are. "And who is sufficient for these things?" Who is sufficient for these things? Why is the gospel a sweet savor unto God of Christ? Why is the gospel not life to everyone? There's one question, one answer. Look at verse 17. "For we are not as many." Paul said, "Me and the true gospel preachers that the Lord has sent," that he said, "I will send, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Dry bones hate God. Dry bones hate Christ. Dry bones hate his ambassadors. Dry bones hate his gospel. Who's sufficient for this work? Found at chapter 3, verse 5, the latter part. "But our sufficiency is of God." Now that's what Ezekiel is being taught in the valley of dry bones. Listen to Ezekiel's answer. Ezekiel 37:3. "And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You know that's all I need to know. That is all I need to know to put some jump in my step, is he knows. I don't have to know. He knows. That's all I need to know. "The excellency of the power is not of us, it's of God. God has purposed who he will save. Christ has purchased those God has given to him. And the Spirit of God shall regenerate them, and they shall follow Christ." Salvation's of the Lord. That's what that means. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, it became clear to me early on, the Lord set me down in a valley and let me see what God's preachers deal with. Let me see the kind of folks God's preachers are preaching to. And it became abundantly clear to me early on that unless the Lord carried me out in the Spirit, I didn't want to go. Just didn't want to go. Moses said, "Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Only one way. Only one way. Moses said, "Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." That's the only way you can be separated, is if God goes with you. It's a mistake to run when God hadn't sent you. It is a mistake to be run when the Spirit of God hadn't carried you out. Because in ourselves, every preacher who preaches the gospel, every man who stands up in the sight of God and determines to preach Christ and Him crucified to God-hating sinners, is totally unable, totally insufficient to do anything to make sinners hear the word he preaches. Absolutely unable to do so. Well, here's the second thing I want you to see. He gives his messenger a twofold charge. A twofold charge. Here's the first thing, verse 4. "Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now that's the first charge, prophesy. It means preach. It means preach the word. Preach the word of the Lord. Here's what he said, tell them. Tell them, you are dry bones. Tell them you are dead, dry bones. And tell them to do this. Tell them to hear the word of the Lord. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. These bones are dead. They're dry bones. Why preach to them? They don't have any ears to hear. They don't have any ability to hear anything Ezekiel saying to them. And the Lord says, go say to them, O you bunch of dead, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Why in the world would a man be so ignorant as to say that? Because the Lord said to. The Lord said do it. That's why. The Lord said do it. Do it because the Lord said do it. That's what I do in this place every time I speak to you. Every time I preach here, I tell you what you are. Dry bones. Those of you who believe on the Lord in your flesh is still what it's always been, dry bones. And those of you who don't know Him and believe on Him, you are dry bones. And I'm saying to you, hear this word. Hear it. Hear it. How would that accomplish anything for dead, dry bones who can't even hear? How's that going to accomplish anything? Listen to the message Ezekiel was sent to preach. Here's the gospel he was sent to tell them to hear. Look at verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will." The Lord said, "I will. I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord." The message of the gospel is declaring God's works, not man's works. It's declaring God's works, not man's works. It's declaring what God has done, is doing, and shall do. Not what you ought to do, or should be doing, or how you can get better elevated above your brethren and be with God at a better spot. It's none of that. If you want that, turn on Oprah. Turn on Dr. Phil. Don't bring God into it! This is what the Lord said. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why not? Because that which is born of the flesh, that which comes out of a woman, that baby that comes out of a woman is flesh. Sinful, depraved, hell-deserving flesh. And that which is born of God, born of the incorruptible seed of God, born of the Holy Spirit of God, born of Christ Jesus the Word, is Spirit. And live forever. Live forever. The Word of the Lord made Ezekiel respond one way. One way. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. That's why the Lord said, I will send you pastors after my heart, and they shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Because when he takes his pastor out and sets him down in the valley of dry bones and carries him out in the Spirit, he makes him to know he's the Lord, and I am a puny peon, nobody that can do nothing but has this treasure in an earthen vessel, and am totally dependent upon the excellency of his power. Now, you know what this tells me? This gives me three reasons why men will not preach the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three reasons why. Number one, they have not been sent of the Lord. That's the first reason. Number two, they do not think sinners are as dead as these dry bones. And number three, they do not think God is able to raise up sinners from the dead, and that he will do it only through his word. They don't believe that. If they did, if you stopped on the side of a road at a car accident, and you knew without a shadow of a doubt that you had something in your car, maybe it's some kind of orthopedic device that you could put around the neck of somebody and save their life, you would not hesitate for one moment to take that device and use it exactly how it should be used, to put it upon the neck of that person to see that you saved their life. You know why? Because you know that will work. You know it has the power to perform its job, and you know it will save the person. That's why men don't preach Christ. They hadn't been sent. They do not believe that men are dead. And they do not believe, they deny the power of God. Have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. All right, back to verse 7. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. The Lord God shook the bones. The Lord God drew the bones together. The Lord God brought the constraints upon the bones to hold them together, and flesh upon them, but there was no breath in them yet. Now what's Ezekiel to do? What's he going to do now? Somebody falls under conviction. Men begin to gather in to hear the word. They begin to come from the east and the west and north and the south. They come in to hear it. They begin to rattle and to shake at the message they're hearing. They express their concern. What do I do? Now what does the preacher do? Oh, start coercing them. Start trying to tell them how to walk. Start trying to tell them what hoops they need to jump to get into the church. Start trying to get them in the baptismal pool as soon as you can. What do you do next? What do you do next? Verse 9. This is the second charge God gives to his preachers. There's only two. The first one's preach the word. Here's the second one. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. He says, pray. Pray. to God, the Holy Spirit, to come in effectual grace, and make the word effectual in our heart. Come. Look back at Ezekiel 36 with me just a moment. Verse 26. Verse 25. The Lord says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. This is the water of purification, the blood of Christ Jesus that speaks better things than that water of the ashes of a red heifer that sprinkles. This blood is sprinkled upon the conscience and takes away the defiling of the conscience and turns the sinner from dead works to serve the true and living God. The blood of Christ. I'll sprinkle it and you shall be clean. Not there'll still be some things for you to get clean, to get sanctified, to get purified. You will be when I do this. You will be. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. I'm going to bring you away from them. I'm going to sanctify you from them. When I do this, you're going to flee from them immediately. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You're going to believe me. But look down at verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, but you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me to do it. What we just sing, brethren, we met to worship. Pray that the Holy One will come down and manna shall be spread all around. Without the Spirit of God blessing the word that goes forth, you can hear it with these ears. You can hear it with his head, but you can't hear it in the heart with the spiritual ears of understanding. That's why Peter said when there came up an issue about the tables and giving the widows the money and making sure that the offerings were being spread out evenly among everybody, Peter said, pick out. They had 8,000 people there already. Peter said, pick out 7 men, faithful men, to take care of this. Because he said, I have a twofold charge given to me by God. And as a faithful watchman, this is what I am commanded to do. We will give ourselves to the Word and to prayer. Two things, to the Word and to prayer. Here's a point to consider too. We see the importance of prayer. We see how important it is. Brethren, pray. Pray that God will bless this word. Pray that he'll bless this word. Pray that it'll go forth and accomplish the thing whereunto he sent it. Pray that he will do. He will be inquired of for this. But here's something to consider too. We see the importance of prayer, but we see also the Lord bringing about that which he requires. Do you see that? He will have Ezekiel pray to him. And therefore, he effectually commands Ezekiel to pray. And what does Ezekiel do? Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. I prayed like he said, pray. You see, God, when it comes to his messengers, it's no more a haphazard. It's no more a thing of the will of man than it is in your salvation. He says, I will set them down and show them this dead, dry bones, and I will make them preach my gospel, even though it goes beyond all reason, and I will put prayer into their heart and give them hearts to pray for my people. Whatever God commands you and I to do, he doesn't leave it up to us to make sure it gets done. He effectually, irresistibly, sovereignly, in power, works in the heart that which he has commanded you to do, so that he gets the glory. He gets the glory. All right, thirdly, here's the effectual result of God's grace, and we'll be done. Now, the Lord God shook the bones. The Lord God drew the bones together. The Lord God brought the sinews and flesh upon them, and the Lord God made them to do 4 things. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. He preached and he prayed, and the breath came into them. That's the first thing. Now, Ezekiel prayed just like the Lord told him to. Ezekiel preached just like the Lord told him to. But the breath came into them without Ezekiel. It came into them of its own will. The Lord said, the wind blows where it will. The Spirit of God blows where it will. God will be inquired, but when He enters in, He's entering in. When He enters in, He's coming in. And He enters in. That's the first thing. Breath came into them. Here's the second thing. And they lived. Now you get the picture of that. Here these bones are, as dead as Adam was when God formed him from the dust of the ground. Everything's been done. The works have all been finished. Everything has been accomplished. Everything is completed by God Almighty alone, just like Christ Jesus has completed all the work. It's done. It's finished. And then God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam opened up his eyes, and he lived. He didn't say, wait a minute now, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to live. He lived. He didn't have any, he couldn't resist it. He lived. And you know what he beheld when his eyes were open? He was in a perfect environment. Everything was done. Everything was finished. Wasn't anything left for him to do. It was done. If God ever opens your eyes through this gospel, that's what you're going to behold in Christ Jesus. It's done. It's done. And here's what they did. Third thing. They stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You know why they're an exceeding great army? Because they have experienced the wisdom and power of God. They know now how dead sinners are really brought to life. They know now that only the word of the gospel will accomplish this. They know now that only the prayer of the saints are going to God's going to bless to honor this work and make it effectual. They know it because, you know why? They've experienced it. It's real to them. To some, the preaching of this gospel is foolishness, God Almighty said. But to them who are called, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And I have before me right here an exceeding great army. Why? Because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. And now you know that. But they're mighty. I have a friend who's in the Air Force, major in the Air Force, good friend, Will McGee. I named Will after him. And we joke with each other when we talk on the phone. And I said, what you doing these days? He said, I'm standing on that wall. I said, yeah, you want me standing on that wall, guarding this country. That's what I'm doing, standing on that wall. He'll say, what are you doing? I said, I'm standing on that wall. But my weapons aren't carnal. Mine are mighty. I got something stronger than an F-16. I got something mightier than a stealth bomber. I got the Word of God. I got the Lord of hosts. I got the Spirit of God. He says, he came to that tomb. And Lazarus has been in that tomb now for 4 days. And Martha says, he stinks. He stinks. That's us. We stink. These bones been in a field so long, they was bleached white. Didn't even have any marrow in the bones anymore. That's how dry we are. We beyond stinking. By nature, we're just dead, dry, bleached out bones. But he came to that tomb and he said, roll back the stone. You know what the Lord told Ezekiel to do right here? By preaching this word and praying, roll back the stone. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? Well, now let me exercise my will. Don't offend my free will. Let me. No. Lazarus came forth. The Lord breathed life into them, and they lived, and they stood up on their feet and became an exceeding great army. Well, I said there was four things that this effectual grace did. What's the other thing? Somebody asked this question on our little question slot on the computer, on the website. Somebody asked, why did the Lord allow to enter Why did the Lord allow sin to enter in and death by sin? I'm kind of helping them with the question, but that's the gist of it. Why did the Lord allow sin to enter in and death by sin? Because when He overcomes death in you by His power and His wisdom, you're going to know and glorify and praise the great I Am. That's why. Look at verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I have performed it, saith the Lord. Now, if He speaks this, and He performs this, that leaves absolutely no room for boasting from me, your preacher, or from you, the one to whom He speaks. You and I have nothing in which to glory save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. And when He does this, He says, you shall know. Moreover, the law entered that sin might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's what He makes you to behold. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might righteousness reign through Christ Jesus the Lord unto eternal life. That's what He makes you to behold. God, who's rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Lest any man should boast. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. What do we say to this? Look over at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. What's the application to us right here where we sit. Right here today. I hope you saw in the first hour how we restore our brethren is with this word. Now we're seeing in this hour that there's a twofold job. Preach the word and pray. That's the twofold job. Preach the word and pray. Now, here's why. Psalm 127:1. I hear all these reports of men being baptized and this church baptized this many and that many and this many and that many. I want to see the number that went out this month. I want to see the number that left this month. It's nothing to get them in the door. But you can't keep them there. Unless God does a work of grace in the heart. Here's the lesson. Verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I'm the watchman of this city right here. But if the Lord doesn't do this work, I'm laboring in vain. If He doesn't keep this city, I can. It's vain for me to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sheep. He gives. Lo, now watch this. This is why children are a heritage of the Lord. It's His portion. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. He gets the glory. He gets the glory for producing His children. You understand that? So what do? We preach the gospel. We pray for Him to bless it. There's one more thing. One more thing. We wait on Him to work this work of grace in His time and not ours. Boy, that's a tough one for a carnal man. Not for a believer, though. He's experienced it. He's experienced it. And he knows it so. And by God's grace, he can do it. He can do it. Amen.